Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
On tomorrow's show, we will react to Bulls-Bucks Game 5. And preview Game 6. Wait, what? We will also talk with Jason Leisure, because you know what tomorrow is? The NFL draft. Now, the Bears won't be drafting anyone tomorrow unless they make some sort of trade, but we will at least get an opportunity to talk with Jason Leisure about their strategy walking into this year's draft. Spiegel and Grody are together for the rest of the week, and they're here right now on The Score. Hello, boys.
What's going on, Lawrence? I like your optimism. Did you say previewing Game 6 of the Bulls and Bucks? Did you say that?
No, I didn't. Did okay. I?
Did you?
Did I?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Wow.
Are you going Spiegel optimism?
No, because Spiegel's optimism got the can of ass wax sent directly to the United Center.
The ass wax.
Yeah, what about last night? What about the Daniel Lynch win for the White Sox
last
night?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
All I did was follow the statistics. It wasn't about a vibe.
Yeah, you did.
It was about following the numbers. The numbers said they should have tattooed that young man.
All
and
lefties.
They didn't.
Right. You know what's funny, Lawrence? Yesterday, we were talking to Transition about the White Sox, and I just had the throwaway line about, like, don't worry about Dallas Keuchel. The White Sox defense will pick him up. And you laughed, and then we circled back around to it. I tweeted it last night at you, and I don't know, sometimes I think that everybody who's with us on Twitter is also with us on the show, and that is, of course, not true. There was a ton of people who were like, what are you talking about? The White Sox defense is not good, Matt.
There are people calling you the mush, and I'm like, No. He was on it. That's what we were discussing.
Only two errors. Only two errors,
man,
to be fair.
Two errors only and a two. Misplay.
Oh, yes. No. The burger misplay? Is that the one you're counting?
It's like that. The burger non-out on the dribbler. A great third baseman goes home and maybe saves a run. A good one gets the out at first, at the very least, and the inning ends on the next ground ball for the Sox. That next ground ball was another run because there's still just one out. It's just... That was so ugly. But we'll see what today brings. We'll probably have a little time towards the end of the show to do some White Sox post game, and maybe Dylan Cease will be the thing that that turns around a little bit. He's dealing.
He's dealing for sure. You know who else was dealing? I thought Marcus Stroman yesterday was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good. That was good because I was a little distressed by the first two starts because of what he said. Because of what he said, as much as what he did, he had said that mechanically he felt all over the place, like every pitch was completely different. And I was like, wait a minute. Last time I heard a Cubs pitcher talking like that, it was Carl Edwards Jr. Like, mm-hmm. you're you're a veteran and you're a starter and you are whip smart, Marcus Stroman. You're supposed to be knowing exactly how it's supposed to feel and recreating that every time. But pitching's hard. You get out of whack. And he seemed much more in whack, if that's a thing, last night.
So was it the second quality start that the Cubs have had this season?
Yeah, the Kyle Hendricks one and the 21-0 game was the other one.
You know, as much as we've been pounding the White Sox justifiably, the Cubs have not played particularly well lately either, having lost three out of four to Pitt. I mean, they scored the 21 runs on Saturday. I think we all sort of lived off that for 48 hours, but they've lost, what, 3-7 in their last 10 games, 3 out of 4 to Pittsburgh, and they lose the opener to Atlanta last night.
Yeah, Sunday there was a bunch of situations that they should have maximized hitting-wise and did not.
8th and 9th innings.
There were David Ross lineup decisions that we didn't get a chance to get to yesterday that, I mean, Alfonso Rivas, that dude can just flat-out hit, and he comes up Saturday and just destroys everything. Then he's not in the lineup on Sunday against a righty. What are you doing? And then he pitch hits, and he has a double right away. And it's like, what are you doing? So, yeah, they've not been playing well. But I thought last night was actually a pretty well-played baseball game. That was a clean,
I agree.
That was a clean, good baseball game.
It was a good game. It is entertaining. I mean, there was the Hermosillo had the error that yes. gave up that run. But other than that, both teams, I thought, played. It was an entertaining, quick baseball game, which is what I like.
Yeah. For sure. It moved fast. And it let me get to the fourth quarter of Ja Morant, which I appreciated. I wasn't watching live when the dunk happened.
I was. And I'm sure that my neighbors heard me yelling because I had the windows open.
Yeah.
Because that's something you do with a Nerf hoop. What he did is something that we would do with the overhang on the door Nerf hoop.
Man.
He cocked it all the way back.
My
it was all the way back, and he just brought the thunder.
My friend Bill, who actually listens now, he grew up with me in Jersey, but like me, moved out here a long, long time ago. And in his garage growing up, he and his older brother convinced their dad to build a hoop, to put a hoop inside the garage so they could shoot hoops during the winter, right? But because the ceilings were what they were and the kids were so little, they put the hoop at like 8 feet. So it was an eight-foot hoop. And then we all started to grow a little bit.
And dunking on it every day.
So fun.
Oh, my God. It was a legit hoop that had that bend when you dunk on it.
Yeah.
And it was at 8 feet and just... I mean, I couldn't do it for a long, long time because I was kind of heavier than some of the other kids. But eventually I could. But just we all would just like get so athletic. And that's what that reminded me of last night. Just like when you're hanging that extra bit in the air, let me just look around for a while and then bring the hammer down. Ja is special. In a league full of special, he is one of the most special.
I love the way that he's like if Iverson played above the rim. Like that's what we're seeing. Like we're seeing maximized Derrick Rose when we see him. And I like that he takes on the challenge of, man, I'm about to bring your whole house down.
Yeah.
And I'm going in there with bad intentions. And it's weird because he's usually the second smallest player on the floor. And he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's just in attack mode all the time. Now, Iverson gave him some advice. Iverson told him, he's like, look, man, the floor doesn't give. So you don't need to keep hitting the floor. He's like, you're going to end up shortening your career.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I am in love with Allen Iverson, like, elder statesman.
Oh, I'm with you, man. Well, you know what? In the same way that I had a while there where I was in love, frankly, with Mike Tyson, elder statesman.
Yeah, until?
I still am.
I thought maybe the airplane incident discouraged you.
No, but it's like there's a kindred spirit there, I guess, in my mind, Lawrence, as you're talking about that certain type. You know, guys who like came across as knuckleheads. But obviously in Tyson's case, he did something far worse. But we're always really smart and incredibly gifted, and actually, when you look back, did get a hell of a lot out of their athletic possibilities because there was tremendous work ethic there, and then they've also matured.
Remember when Mike Tyson was in the score studio? Was that with you, Speaks?
No.
Or was that you? He was here
for
one of
on the
show.
12th floor.
Yeah, he came walking in, and I remember Mitch was all excited, and he went out. He had him come in the sales door at the end, and I think it was so he could walk him through.
During my era of vague employment? I don't even know. When was this?
No. Whose show was he on, Lawrence? Do you remember this? Was it?
I remember when he was here. I just remember that it was... It was definitely...
Wasn't that long ago. I mean,
yeah,
relatively
I would say
speaking.
It was probably like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I do know that it was the 12th floor.
Yeah. Speaks, you would have been working here. I thought
I
he was
know,
on
man.
With... I thought maybe you weren't here that day. I thought he was on with McNeil.
There's no... Actual Mike Tyson... You sure that wasn't John
yes.
Shaky Suntrist doing Mike
no,
Tyson? Are you
no,
positive?
It definitely wasn't John Shaky Suntrist.
No, Mike Tyson walking through these hallways, and everybody was just like, oh, my God, that's so cool.
Well,
Mike
certain
Tyson.
Guys certain guys just have that vibe. I remember when... go ahead.
No, go ahead, Speaks.
No, I was thinking about when...
I'll go.
When Ice Cube was here... When we were launching the three-on-three league, and we got a chance to talk to Ice Cube.
I met Cube at a Cubs game. That's probably the same week.
It was Mac and Finfer, says Jose from Deerfield. Longtime listener, Jose from Deerfield.
Okay, so you were out
that
day.
I guess I wasn't here. It was definitely Mac and Ben Finfer with Tyson. I missed Tyson.
You blew it. You
what the
blew
hell?
It. Yep. You blew it.
What was that?
I know, and you don't even remember that he was on that day.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, I remember it vividly because I remember Mitch being all excited and everybody in the sales department was like, oh, my God, it's Mike Tyson. And everybody wanted autographs and Mike and they talked about mental health. That's what they talked about.
Here it is.
A lot of, anyway.
Yep. There's a picture. There's a picture of Mac and Finfer and Mitch and Mike freaking Tyson. Where was I?
Not here. You decided.
You were not here.
You didn't want to come into work that day, Matt.
Took a day off.
Yep. Took a quote vacay day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe with some happy lettuce. Maybe that's what was going on that day.
That'll learn you.
What are you talking about?
See what happens?
No, I'm trying to figure it out. Maybe it was paternity leave.
Actually, back then, weren't you and Dan taking every other day off? Like you guys were alternating days off, essentially.
That's not the way.
You know
it
what?
Works.
You it actually might be like for the birth of your beautiful son, Ruben. Like maybe that's what it was.
It was 100%. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Now
he was born 2012, February 2014. I don't remember. Maybe is that when I didn't have a voice? You remember I lost
happy
my voice?
Lettuce.
You remember I lost my voice for a while, Lawrence?
I do.
Yeah, like I was unable to function as a speaker or singer, which is kind of tough for a man in my position. Yeah. So
for a guy who has a job as a speaker and a singer.
Correct. Yeah. So I had a rough few weeks there where I didn't do anything. So maybe it was that. I don't
so
know.
So we're going to have Ben Finfer on today to recap the Mike Tyson interview.
And taunt me.
Yes.
For missing Iron Mike.
Let's go back to the Iverson point
that
I was making before we got off on it. I just... Watching some of like the 75th and seeing like it was really cool to see Jordan be happy like at that celebration because he's not ordinarily and seeing him give like going up to Luka and talking to Luka and telling him that he's special. Iverson's been doing this for years. Like he shows up at games and he talks to players and to see you would have never guessed that it would be him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that it is him, that he recognizes and appreciates how all of these dudes loved him as a player. And now when they see him, they seek his counsel and he's willing to give them that counsel. That to me is something that you would hope. Like if he's one of my favorite players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing him mature into this and seeing the guys be thankful, you know, that they have been kind of given that you're good by Allen Iverson. Can you imagine what that means? Like think about it. Like if you're Ja Morant, what it means for the guy whose game you're kind of patterning after says, nah, man, you're better than I am and you can be better than I am. So don't do some of the stupid stuff that I did with my body and bounce off the floor. That to me is wild.
It sounds like you're identifying with the gratitude that you might have as a young player when an old head kind of blesses you like that.
Yes.
And the gratitude that maybe like Iverson didn't really portray when he was playing. Like, he had that chip on his shoulder the whole time, the entire time. And obviously he needed that shoulder chip to be as good as he was. But as you grow and that chip kind of fades away, because it has to, it's just in order to function, maybe you find some of that gratitude. And he seems to be in a good place and is able then to share it and say some of the stuff he wishes somebody said to him. You know, it's beautiful.
Well, I guess, like, you know, Dr. J was a little bit of that for him. And now, like, they have this cool relationship wherever there's anything big happening with Philly basketball.
Yo.
Like, they show up together, and how great is that? Yeah. But Jaylen Brown is one of those guys, too, that Iverson has been like, man, you're really good, and here's how you can be better.
I'd love to get to know that guy, Jaylen Brown. Well, both Brown and Tatum. You know, it seems like a good moment here as the Bulls are on the precipice of a gentleman's sweep to mention that I wish we had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They're both really good, and they're both really interesting and thoughtful dudes, it seems, from afar.
I kind of like
you could have had Ja Morant, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one time that the Iowa State Murray State connection
Murray
was going to work in our favor. The one time that the freaking Gar Foreman Iowa State Murray State fixation was going to work. But Ja was too damn good in the NCAA tournament to last.
Well, remember, he was too good, and the Bulls went on some weird-ass, like, win streak. Remember that season?
Oh, God, you're so right. They went on a useless, anti-tanking win streak that only took them out of Ja Morant possibilities. You're 100% correct.
They could have Ja Morant.
Oh,
destroying our narrative.
Yeah, instead, you remember who they got? They got Wendell Carter Jr.
Yeah.
Instead,
he's a fine player. He's a solid player that they've moved on from.
And they turned that into Vooch.
Like
Bobby Portis.
Yeah, the Portis one hurts. The Wendell Carter Jr., I'm not feeling that's fine. But move on. Somebody texted us yesterday. Should the Bulls have kept? Do they regret letting out? No, there's no regrets.
Wendell Carter Jr.,
yeah, no regrets. Bobby Portis, yes. But not Wendell Carter Jr.
But even Bobby Portis, like, I don't know if Portis was going to mature and grow the way that he has.
It's easy to say now because they could use that guy.
It's just
they 100% could use Bobby Goggles.
Oh, my God, of course.
Bobby Goggles.
But this is the thing now. It's so obvious, but sometimes we still forget. It's like we used to watch guys mature in college. Now we see them mature over the first 3 years of their NBA careers. You know, like Brandon Ingram is a freaking killer. And he was not ready to be that guy early on in L.A. or even early on in New Orleans. Now he is ready to be that guy. It's we watch these kids mature.
That's the hope for Patrick Williams, right? Like, yes. As angry as we get at him and how he could play like a little bit, let's just say he can be shy out there. Like, that's the hope. That's what everybody's hanging on to with Patrick Williams. I guess we have to sort of hang on to with Patrick Williams.
Yeah, you know, Lawrence, I don't even know if we had a chance to talk about it. I talked about it with Gabe the other day, and Grody and I were talking about it before the show. Part of my Bulls frustration is that there should have been some kind of statement of physicality that took place at home. They were bullied in every sense by the Bucks on their own court, and it was dehumanizing. It was embarrassing as a fan. It should have been embarrassing to them, and I was ready for any of it, whether it is attacking the rim when they're back and defending like Patrick Williams. Just go freaking attack. Go over the top. Even if you don't finish, get fouled. Show them that you're not afraid. You're not going to settle for like a 15-foot floater. You know, or
defend Grayson Allen,
or defend like, Grayson
defend
Allen,
him.
and defend him. Right.
Hard.
And they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Tristan Thompson had a chance to do it, and he didn't do it when Grayson went to the hoop. I've decided tonight it's too late. It's too late now. But I will grudgingly accept a Grayson Allen ass kick by a Bulls defender tonight. I will grudgingly accept that and probably enjoy it.
It doesn't look good. It looks worse then. I mean,
it's
too late. And Grayson Allen is 11 of his last 14 from three.
Yeah.
And they're all gorgeous swishes too. Like they just pop the net. Like there's no doubt.
Go out
and you know
cover
why?
Him.
Because the Bulls are really bad at getting back to the shooter after they double and triple Giannis in the post.
Yes.
So he could show you his full form, and he does have a really nice shot.
Hustle and get there to cover, and then when he drives inside on you, beat the ever-living crap out of him. I will accept that. I think Bulls fans, Bulls Nation, probably with me on being ready to accept a Grayson Allen ass-kicking, even though it's too late.
And he's been.
I was
like,
asking for it yesterday.
Yeah. You were? Okay.
Hey, and Stacey King, every time he drives to the basket, that's what insults his sense of, and yours too, clearly here, Matt. It insults his sensibilities that, yeah, he's going to hit some threes, whatever, but you cannot let that guy drive to the basket. Not just because he's Grayson Allen and you want to, you know, lay some wood on the guy,
yeah,
but because nobody should be able to drive to the basket that easily except for Io Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, a texter says Bulls Giannis. Drafted Giannis. His texter says Bulls drafted Kobe White in the Ja Morant draft. Oh, mixing up. They took Wendell Carter in the Trae Young Luka Doncic draft. When they also went on a meaningless run. Vincent Goodwill has written specifically about that year, Lawrence. They went on a little stupid anti-tank run and pulled away from themselves and ended up with the 7 pick that year, too.
And we know you were Team Tank.
Oh, big time.
Tank Always. Abbott.
Yes, Tank McNamara back
Whatever
in the day.
Whatever tank you got.
Yeah. Anybody remember Tank McNamara, the comic in your sports section? Every once in a while? No?
I do not.
No, okay.
I like to play, but I can't. I don't know.
That's all right. It's like when Shane was doing Ben from Hometown yesterday.
Yeah.
We wanted to play. Then I talked to Big Game, said I was going to go home and watch an episode of Hometown.
I knew you weren't.
I watched Winning Time. I caught up on Winning Time.
This last episode was a thing.
I didn't see. I think I'm in the middle of the last one. I just finished where Jack McKinney has the bike accident.
Oh, then you're not caught up.
No.
You're like 4 episodes down.
Am I that far down?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there was some stuff that happened on the latest episode. Of Winning Time.
All
you'll
right.
see.
Is
I got,
it?
You'll see.
I got work to do.
It's on HBO Max.
Some things come home right? to okay. roost. And the other thing is I know other people have made this point.
Mo Cheeks.
But I,
yeah, Mo Cheeks.
I will say that the logo is very angry about how he's being portrayed.
Yes, he is.
But his statement of, I will take this all the way to the Supreme Court, you know who would say that? The character that's playing him on Winning Time.
That's funny.
I think that he's got a legit beef. Mm. But I also think, you know, you're starting to show why they portrayed you that way.
That would be the best response if you're Adam McKay to say, Jerry, thank you for that reaction. We will go ahead and incorporate that into season 4 of Winning Time. The aging logo is so furious he wants to take television shows. We'll just keep making it.
I've seen none of it. That's why I'm being quiet.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's fun.
It's worth your time.
It's definitely fun. The cast is unbelievable. Everybody says yes to McKay. Everybody. I mean, Tracy Letts is a Pulitzer Prize winning playwright, as well as these days a legendary actor, a Tony Award winner. And he plays this part of Jack McKinney for 2.5 episodes, you know? Adrian Brody as Pat Riley. Yeah, Jason Segel as Paul Westhead. All these guys just like saying yes to Adam McKay.
I think John C. Reilly is going to get an award.
I think he will too. I think he probably will too. Lawrence, have a wonderful day. Thank you for the chatter. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, boys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, Lawrence.
Lawrence Holmes right there. Today is Joe West Day.
Yes.
The former big league umpire who started in 1976 as a National League umpire. We've known him our entire baseball lives. He will be on this show at 3:00. Eric Edholm from Yahoo will talk Bears wide receivers and more. Shane is here. Tanny's here. His open kicks us off. Shane's meatloaf will be devoured during this very break by Spiegs and Grody on Park and the Spiegel here at The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.